Gospel of John chapter 10. Our focus this morning will be on verses 7 through 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 just as as our introduction this morning before we read 7 to 10. In chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the one not entering through the door into the fold of the sheep, but the one that is going up from another way, that one is a thief and a robber. The one entering through the door is shepherd of the sheep." So the first thing we studied last week is the true shepherd. The true shepherd is the one who goes into the sheepfold through the door. And as I mentioned to you last week, in Palestine, they would have one walled area. And the shepherds would bring each of their flocks into the fold in the evening hours. And everyone's sheep would be mixed together. And there would be a doorkeeper who would watch the door to make sure no sheep went out nor anyone came in to rob the sheep. And in the morning, the doorkeeper would step aside and open the doorway to each shepherd, and the shepherd would call his sheep by name. And the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They are not branded, they are not marked, they're not tagged. They just know the voice of their shepherd. So all the shepherd has to do is stand in the doorway and call his sheep. Only his sheep will respond. And after everyone's sheep is out of the fold, then the doorkeeper can sleep, do whatever he wanted to do, because now the shepherds take over the next morning. The Lord is using this. Verse 6 says that this is a proverb, not a parable, but a proverb. The true shepherd enters in through the door of the fold. But the one who does not enter through the door but climbs up or goes up some other way is a thief and a robber. Kleptes is the word for thief, and in Greek it means to steal by deception. But then we have lestes, which is the word for robber, and it means to steal by force. So if a person doesn't want to come in through the doorway and call the sheep, but rather go up some other way because they know the sheep are not going to respond, that person is a thief and a robber. And we will see what that means today. To this one, that is to the true shepherd who stands in the door, the doorkeeper is opening. And notice all of the characteristics now of not only the true shepherd, but the true sheep. To this one, the doorkeeper is opening, and the sheep are hearing his voice. Present indicative, not should hear, they are hearing. And he is calling his own sheep according to name. The Lord knows each one of his sheep. He calls them by name. And he leads them out. Not he should lead them out and they should follow, but he does. He leads them out. And whenever he should put his own sheep out, that is outside of the sheepfold, he is going before them. And his sheep are following, not should follow, they are following him. Because they know his voice. And they will never, notice the double negative, they will never follow a stranger, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This proverb Jesus spoke to them, but those ones did not know what it was which he was speaking to them. They knew all about the sheepfold. They knew all about the sheep. As a matter of fact, from a Jewish standpoint, as I shared with you last week, the word shepherd in the Old Testament Genesis 49:24, the singular word shepherd is used for God. That the shepherd is God, the God of Israel. The plural word form is used for the leaders of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 34, the leaders are called the shepherds of Israel, that they are corrupt. So, the Lord is showing two things by this proverb. He is grouping together a concept that they were familiar with the land in which they were living. They were also familiar with it from the Old Testament language. That the true shepherd is going to enter in through the door. And he's going to call his sheep. And of course, the Lord is making up to this point. Later it will be Gentiles, but up to this point, the sheepfold is Israel. And the doorkeeper, many people believe, is John the Baptist. Certainly he was used by the Lord, but basically the doorkeeper is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's keeping God's people. The Holy Spirit is the one that ushered in Jesus so that he could stand in the door. And he calls his own sheep, and his own sheep will hear him. They will respond, and they will follow him. And I pointed out the double negatives to you. They will never listen. They will never follow a stranger. They will never listen to the voice of strangers, ever. And so the Lord is applying it, first of all, to himself, as we'll see here, because today in verses 7 through 10, Jesus is going to present himself as the door. Next week, in verses 11 through 18, he's going to present himself as the good shepherd. But the Lord is making two applications here. Number one, to the true shepherd of God, he will come and he will call his sheep, and the people who belong to the Lord and have a response to him, they will respond. It's impossible for them not to respond. But on the other hand, his sheep will never listen to a stranger. His sheep will never be ripped off, ever. But he's pointing to the false shepherds and saying a false shepherd will never stand in the doorway and just give the word, you know, so that the sheep will follow the voice of the head shepherd. It goes along with ministry today and leadership today, just as it was in Jesus' day. Just give the word. God's people will respond to the voice of their Lord. Finding some other method to attract the sheep, finding some other method to corral the sheep, other than entering in through the door. The people are thieves and robbers. Amen. Verse 7 for today, therefore Jesus said again to them, Amen, Amen. That's this literal translation. Not truly, truly, but because that's alethos, alethos. This is amen, amen. It means of a truth, of a truth. I say to you that I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Through me, if anyone should enter, he will be saved, and he will go in, and he will go out, and he will find pasture. The thief is not coming except that he might steal and kill and destroy. But I came in order that they might have life and that they might have abundance. Literal translation. In these few verses, we have Jesus presenting himself as the door. And as I said, next week, 11 to 18, he's going to present himself as the good shepherd. There are two sections to this presentation. Verses 7 and 8 start out with Jesus saying, I am the door. Verse 9 starts out again by saying, I am the door. And there are three parts to each section. First of all, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. He's saying that everyone must go through Him. And everyone that goes through Him, they will experience something. But it is interesting, He's going to be the shepherd, but now He is the door. He doesn't say He's the doorkeeper, but He's the door. He's the one that keeps His sheep in, and He's the one that protects the sheep from going out. If any shepherd or leader or pastor or minister is to minister to the flock, they must go through Jesus. He's the door. The sheep go in and out, and they find pasture by going in and out through Jesus, not through any other way. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Second thing He says was, now notice this, all who came before Me are thieves and robbers. Everybody that came before Jesus to proclaim themselves to be Messiah or the chief shepherd, they are thieves and robbers. It's a pretty serious proclamation to make against false teaching. Do you know that the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, the harshest judgment of God is proclaimed not against sinners. It's against false teachers, false prophets. They will suffer the severest of punishment for not representing the truth of God, going their own ways and leading God's people astray, seemingly. We just follow along because that's the thing to do, but the voice of our shepherd is calling us in another direction. That's why Christians struggle. They're hearing the voice of their shepherd say, that's not the truth, that's not the way to go, but they're just blindly following, thinking that's the way to go. And they're confused. They're not at peace, and there's a struggle. And it's not until we respond to the voice of our shepherd instead of the voice of reason or tradition. When we respond to the voice of our shepherd to follow Him, then we will be at peace. The Lord will never let us be at peace. See, we are hearing His voice. We're just doing a different thing. And later on, the Lord separates it and helps us to understand and understand these things that we're going through, the struggle. But notice the third thing here. He says, but the sheep did not hear them. All that came before Jesus were thieves and robbers. But He factually states, aorist active indicative, they, the sheep, did not listen to them. Didn't say they should not have. They did not. And as I told you last week, and I'll share it with you again this week, because this is an important principle. The Bible does not teach inclusion. It teaches exclusion. Jesus said the church is going to be made up of wheat and tares together. Remember the servant said, Master, shouldn't we go out and remove the tares so it doesn't harm the wheat? He says, no, leave it together. At the harvest, we'll separate the wheat from the tares. The wheat and tares are always going to be together. In God's master plan and design, His people are manifested by a process of elimination. Jesus said the one who endures to the end is the one that's saved. Not the person who talks the good walk, but who walks the walk. Who is the person who endures? It's the person who is being kept by God's Spirit and endures all the way to the end. Because God is keeping them. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19, he says, it is necessary for there to be divisions amongst you, so that those who are approved of God might become manifest. So there has to be divisions. Not everybody's telling the truth. Not everybody is teaching the truth. In Acts chapter 17, it says the Bereans, the people in Berea, that they, with a ready mind, they were ready to receive what Paul had to say, but they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things be true. They just didn't follow blindly. They took what they were taught and compared it with the Scriptures to see if it was true. So teachers have a very serious responsibility. Prophets have a very serious responsibility to give the truth of God's Word. But God's people also have a responsibility to make sure they're following the truth. It's a responsibility. And we're all given the Spirit of God. We're all given the same Scriptures. We can check it out. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, John said concerning those who were amongst the Christians that were now following Gnostic heresy and Gnostic teaching. He says, they went out from us because they were not of us. Because had they been of us, they would not have gone out from us. And because they went out from us, it was manifested by God that they were not of us. Our heart bleeds for people who follow false teaching. But that's part of God's manifestation process. If somebody can embrace false teaching and feel comfortable in it and like it and want it, God says it's manifesting that they are not one of His sheep. His sheep will never listen to the voice of a stranger. They will always listen to the voice of the shepherd. So it is interesting, Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep, and everybody that came before me, they are thieves and robbers. And the third thing is, the sheep did not listen to them. They weren't fooled by them. Only the fools get fooled. But God's people didn't listen. Secondly, notice verses 9 and 10, the second section. He says, I am the door. Through me, if anyone should enter. Notice the subjunctive. Aeon with the subjunctive. Third class condition assumed as unfulfilled. When a person chooses to enter in through Jesus Christ, what he's saying is what he said in John 14:6, I am the truth and the way and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Those who enter through me, Jesus said. Four things will happen. He will be saved. Secondly, he will go in. Thirdly, he will go out. Fourthly, he will find pasture. You go in and out of the door. Freedom, protection, guidance. And the shepherd is going to lead us to the food. Do you know how many Christians today are complaining because they're not fed? They're trying to keep up with tradition. They're trying to keep up with the duty of what they're supposed to be doing, but they're starving. They're not being fed. And yet there's the voice of the Lord saying within them, you need to be fed. And they're struggling, trying to go in two different directions, not realizing they need to follow the voice of their shepherd. So it's through Jesus that we experience all of these things. He says the thief, notice verse 10, the thief, singular, is not coming except in order that he might steal and kill and destroy. So the second part of this threefold second section is that the purpose of the thief is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now the word kill is the word thuo for animal sacrifice. It's not the word murder. So these false shepherds steal the sheep. That means that they deceive them so that they can have them for themselves. Secondly, they sacrifice the sheep for their own good. And they in so doing, they destroy the sheep. Spiritually. I want to read again from that first section of Ezekiel chapter 34, which describes for us the false shepherds of Israel and what they were doing to the sheep. Listen to this. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves, sacrificing the sheep for their own food, for their own advantage. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor have you bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away. Nor did you seek after that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts of the fields when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and on every hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every wild beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. The thief comes to steal, to sacrifice the flock for themselves, and you can always tell who is who by sensing the motive of the message. Is it to produce for the leader, or is it to bring you into a deeper relationship with your shepherd, Jesus Christ? Is it for some other advantage or some other motive other than to feed, other than to lead in obedience to Christ? Like John the Baptist, he was the perfect example. He says, I'm just the friend of the bridegroom. I introduce the bride to the bridegroom, and I rejoice when they come together, but I'm just a voice. I'm just the friend introducing the two. And when we minister to others, we bring others to Christ, not to ourselves. The Lord might use us. The third thing he says, I came in order that they might have life and they might have abundance. So the Lord is saying the thief steals and kills and destroys. But Jesus came to minister life to people. Not just life in general, but all of the abundance of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He sacrifices himself. He is the door. I used to hear in Bible school, the biggest complaint by those in ministry was that the people use them as doormats. People make us feel like we're doormats. You just walk all over us. You know. It's the lower lip group where you step on your lower lip, the way we're treated. I think it's interesting. We're not doormats, but we're doors. People either find access to Christ through us, where they can come in and out and find food and pasture and protection and the abundance of life in Christ. Or we shut the door and we lock the door and say, you can't get in unless you pay $39.95. You know? The Lord's biggest complaint about the leaders in Judaism was that they kept the people. He says, you yourselves have kept yourself from knowledge, and you have prevented those others from entering in. Today, those in leadership and in ministry hinder people from coming to get fed more than leading people to the food. Shepherd's primary job is to feed the flock. And what is interesting in all this, and it wasn't planned, but next week in our study in the book, the first hour, Paul is going to tell the elders from Ephesus, feed the flock of God. Next week we will continue with the Lord's presentation. He's the good shepherd. He feeds the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. See with making the application to himself as the shepherd, but also to the leadership of the Pharisees as being under-shepherds, that they have led the children of Israel astray. They have not represented the truth of God. They have, in fact, the leaders themselves have rejected the shepherd himself, and they've prevented Israel from coming to know their shepherd. We should not stand in the way or be in the way of people coming to Christ. We should be a doorway being used of the Lord to say, come through Christ. We should not be a locked door. We should be an open door to say, come to Christ. But Christ is the only way. You can't come any other way. Repent. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you know from what Jesus said, when you give the simple message of the gospel, his sheep will hear his voice. And they will follow him. You don't have to beat people up. You don't have to fight with people. In John chapter 6, when the leadership came to argue with Jesus about his message, he said, you can't come except the Father draw you. And everyone that the Father draws to me will come to me, and I will never cast them out. And of all that the Father gives to me, I will not lose one. So basically, if you're rejecting me, because the Father's not drawing you, you're a goat, you're not a sheep. See, we're all people, but as people, we're either one of two spiritual things. Either a person is spiritually a goat, or they're spiritually a sheep. And if a person is a sheep, they will respond to Christ. If they are a goat, they won't. I have a little, there's a little line that people cross as I'm sharing Christ with them. If I see that the gospel message is getting their goat, I know what that response indicates. And I just entrust what I've told them, that God's Spirit will minister to their conscience, that if they are one of the Lord's sheep, that they will respond, and they will. They'll respond if they have a heart for Christ. And if they're not, they won't. So the Lord was showing the leadership of Israel, you don't come through the door, because I'm the door. You come through Christ. The leadership rejected Christ, so they rejected the door. And by rejecting the door, they had to go into the sheepfold another way, a different way than through the door. The conviction. And think about next week when he says he's the good shepherd, and how they, the leadership, have stolen, killed, and destroyed the sheep, and that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. And they've kept the sheep from him. It's a heavy responsibility. But there are some assurances and some security in what Jesus is saying. Those who belong to him, they will not listen to the false teachers. They will not follow because it's a stranger's voice. It's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how we're so thankful that we are not secure as your sheep and as your children because of our efforts, but because of the faithfulness of your Spirit to keep us. It is not a license for sin. It is not a license for rebellion, but rather an assurance to us of your faithfulness to keep your people. First of all, you convicted us of our need to receive Christ to be saved. He is now not only our Lord and Savior, but our shepherd. He leads us and we follow. He feeds us. He protects us. He gave his life for us. We thank you that by your Spirit we're able to discern, that by your Spirit we're able to know what is of the truth and what is not. So we confess that without you we cannot do one thing, and we confess our thankfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness to minister to our hearts. But also help us to recognize the false teachers and the false shepherds who do not enter in through the door, through Jesus Christ, who are not introducing the bride and the bridegroom, who are not the voice who is a friend introducing the shepherd to the sheep. Help us be sensitive to those who are stealing, killing, and destroying. And we can only do that by the help of your Spirit residing within. We pray that your Spirit would give us understanding and help us with these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.